And really, if we don't see results here in the next couple seasons, it's like, well, why would you get rid of guys that were great fits?
Hey, everybody, welcome to Climb the Ladder for episode 177, presented by Washed Up Network. I'm your co-host, Hunter, and my good-looking twin brother, Duncan, is right here with me. We are coming to you today with a lot of action for college football world, a little bit of off-season baseball moves, and more. So jump on in for episode 177, and as always, we're brought to you by our sponsor, the great PNW. So head on over to thegreatpnw.com for 20% off your purchase. As always, let's climb the ladder. Dunk, you got your Mariners hat on from the playoffs. Nice to get a little revival with some off-season transactions going. Figure we could start with a little bit of quick jaw-dropping Mariners and then focus heavily on the college football playoff.
Yeah, big bummer coming out of Seattle as of last night, December the 3rd. Happy December, everyone. But Jared Kelenic, Marco Gonzalez, and
Evan White.
Drawing blank.
Yeah, Evan White, first baseman.
Evan White. Yeah, all three headed to Atlanta for, at this point, really nobody. I think we got a couple pitchers out of it, but
hey, it'll be cool for them to get a ring in the next, 2 to 4 years, I would say.
Yeah, not
that's
ideal.
What,
not,
that's not what expected. Sewald just went and did. And who else in Arizona?
Well, Marte's been there, but he
did
that.
Oh, yeah. 2 to 5.
Yeah, shipped out Eugenio Suarez last week or a couple weeks ago, maybe before Thanksgiving. And yeah, just a big bummer. I think Suarez was like a $20 million cap dump, but to send three starters out, I guess Evan White's kind of a floater, but that, to me, it just feels like there's got to be something big coming, because if there's not, then I don't know why we're trying to free up all this money. And really, if we don't see results here in the next couple seasons, it's like, well, why would you get rid of guys that were great fits for nobody? So kind of skeptical about the move, but hopefully time will tell, and hopefully sooner than later, on if that was successful or smart.
Yeah, really. And just a couple other transactions that's just like, what are we doing here with, like, are we getting guys, are we growing, like, what are we doing? Might sound familiar, not a ton of time, but Cooper Hummel, who we got from Arizona, he just got picked up on the waivers by the Mets. So, I mean, not really any action, nothing significant in Seattle, but just goes to show, like, we trade all this stuff away for, you know, got rid of Sewald and everything else. And, you know, another guy like him. But yeah, huge offseason move for not a lot in return, other than cutting some salary cap. I think we're saving $25 million, but if we don't do anything with it, then that's very insignificant. So we'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll keep you guys updated on the Mariners. Hopefully it's more good news than bad, but it does hurt to see those three guys leave. They're good guys, good for the team. So we will keep you updated on that. But Hunter, we had quite the shakeup in the college football world this weekend. Last time we recorded, we were previewing all of the conference championships, and those had a big weight on the outcome of who ended up getting the top four seeds in the college football playoffs. So we wanted to go through a little bit of recap on what happened this weekend in college football, and then do a preview of what we're to expect in the college football playoff.
Yeah, we might as well go through just see how we did in our predictions. Mountain West Championship, Pac-12 Championship, SEC, Big 12, Big 10. We even had Sun Belt, MAC. It was a full weekend.
Yeah. Mountain West was taken by the 7-5 Broncos, and then the next day they did hire Spencer Danielson as head coach. So that was super cool to see dominant performance over UNLV, who led the conference all season. Friday night kind of started out with Washington taking on Oregon, also in Las Vegas, and very close game. Oregon lost both games to Washington this season by 3 points each. And really, that could have been anyone's game, but Washington outlasted. And I think as soon as they won, everyone knew that they were going to the playoffs. So kind of started on,
yeah, it
quite
was
the exciting note.
Yeah, Friday night, Conference USA. I think we predicted that one correctly. Liberty took that pretty convincingly to stay undefeated, might we add. So Florida State's not the only undefeated team that didn't get into the playoff. But Liberty ending after the championship game at number 24 took down New Mexico State 49-35. So they definitely hit the over on that. And then UW and Oregon.
Yeah. Ended up hitting the over there. Honestly, a little bit higher of a game than I thought it would be. And Washington killed the spread because it was, I think it ended at -9.5 for Oregon. So heavily favored and rightfully so. Oregon had a good team, but Washington was having none of that.
Yeah, I got to watch the whole second half. I was driving in a snowstorm for the first half, but I had some good commentary. Well, I have to say, this was pretty funny. Good for the podcast, but driving on the road, I had about 1.5 to 2 hours to drive. Knew it was going to be a little slow going in the snow, so I turn on the AM radio, good old 710. ESPN Seattle to get some hometown commentary, and my wife Hannah goes, is this AM radio? It hasn't gotten any better in all the years. And then, you know, we're going over like mountain passes and stuff, so it's in and out and it's like mostly static, and so that was funny. So then I pull up my streaming on just TV on my phone and turn the game on. So I had the announcer's commentary, but I also had Hannah was holding the phone and she was giving me her own color commentary, like bird's eye view instead of all 22. And instead of you know, like a hurry up play, they reset. So the team just reset into their positions. So I had some good terminology.
Nice. Some, break it down for you.
Yeah, it was really good because it was very easy to understand because it was like what she sees of how she understands the game and just spitting it out real time in layman's terms. So I feel like that was beneficial because then I could process like the football knowledge side of it. So it was fun, especially just driving slow in the snow and just visualizing there. And then, yeah, anyway, I got to watch the second half and Washington was really in control of it.
Yeah, I got to see a good chunk of that one and good to see them really make a statement. Only the second year with Kalen DeBoer at head coach. And I think Penix will obviously be headed to the draft, but they should retain a good chunk of their team. Haven't seen many hit the portal today. So hopefully that is good for them. And they have an exciting matchup coming with Texas. So I think it'll honestly be a really good 2-3.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, moving into Saturday, the early game, Texas, Oklahoma State. Texas took care of business, obviously enough so to be convincing and put themselves into a spot to solidify for the college football playoff coming in at number 3.
Yeah, they were one that I thought if they win, then you kind of have to put them in, even regardless of Florida State, who we'll get to in a second. But Texas had an early season win over Alabama, who Alabama has looked really good in recent weeks. Jalen Milroe's absolutely tearing it up at quarterback for Bama. So then I was thinking, well, if Bama wins over the number one team in the country, undefeated Georgia, then you really got to put Texas and you really got to put Bama. So, yeah, Texas, not even close with Oklahoma State, and really just a, I think, a good confidence builder going into Washington. I think it'll be a pretty even matchup, and I don't know who's favored at this point, but I think it'll be close.
Yeah, I think so too. I haven't seen the lines. I think it's too early to come out for that one. But yeah, they won pretty convincingly. I have to say, a lot of these championship games were, I don't know, maybe we went 50-50 on close games. But for the most part, we got the two best teams in the conference, which is exciting to watch.
Yeah, the one that we can easily breeze over is Michigan over Iowa. We knew that that wouldn't be close. I don't think anyone in the country put money on Iowa, except maybe if you went there,
Couple
or if you,
Hawkeyes fans.
yeah, or if you go to Ohio State, maybe throw a bone to Iowa for the rivalry. But
Yeah.
yeah, Michigan's in rightfully at number one in the country. However, and we'll talk about the SEC next, I think they've got their work cut out for them against a really good number four Alabama team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, rightfully so, Michigan. Other than Georgia, has been the best team in the country, and they held their own. But yeah, Alabama, it's all about a team getting hot at the right time, and Alabama's there.
Yeah, Bama went in and super close game against Georgia. Georgia just couldn't finish. They lost by three, and Nick Saban just knows how to get it done. There's no way that you could put Georgia in over Bama because they were both one loss SEC teams, and it sucks for Georgia because they were number one in the country. But I do think that the committee got it right. I think the one that we'll talk about next is Florida State as a possible snub. But I just knew that they weren't going to leave the SEC out of it, and they couldn't put Bama in and not Texas. So really, I think this ended up being the only option unless they ended up leaving out Texas and Bama. But what do you think on Florida State getting into that one? They end up winning a pretty lousy game against Louisville. Low scoring. Not any excitement, really. Not a lot of offense at all. Two really good defenses were showcased, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, with that, I had a lot of mixed feelings because I thought any undefeated team, other than like Liberty in this case, deserves a spot in the playoff. And I heard a lot of good arguments to maybe move my opinion, but I still think Florida State should have been in. The fact of the matter is, the College Football Playoff Committee was not going to have a playoff without an SEC team. So the fact that Georgia lost meant that they were going to replace them with Alabama. And if, Texas, who will be a future SEC team, they'll join in 2024. But I just think Florida State should have been in that number four spot, being undefeated. Maybe not the number three because of what's happened with their quarterback turnover and some injuries and stuff, but hey, they kept it and they still stayed undefeated. So I think they got snubbed. I think forever everybody's going to think that, but also think about them coming out and not having to face Michigan, who they might have got throttled against.
Yeah, honestly, with the way that they played against Louisville, I'm surprised Louisville couldn't put together a few more points and beat them because Florida State's on their third string quarterback. They didn't look bad, but it was just not exciting. They just could not get any momentum for anything. It was constant three and outs. I think there was a dozen punts in the first half and then probably another dozen afterwards. More punts than first downs for sure. But I think the committee took a holistic approach and said Florida State could easily lose by 50 in the playoff, and we don't want that to happen. So let's put Alabama in, who could potentially beat Michigan. And I think we'll see that if Florida State gets exposed by Georgia, which they very easily could. It's not the Florida State team that got them to 11 or 12 and 0, because the quarterback's gone, and that was the heart of the offense. And that's what the announcers and the playoff committee kept talking about. So I don't blame them. I do think that's tough, first Power Five undefeated team to ever not make the playoff. But again, that's why we're going to 12 teams next year. So
Yeah.
yeah,
It'll be a game
it's
changer because you're
crazy.
gonna get three loss, maybe even four loss teams with the right combination getting in that inside that top 12. And
Yeah.
I think it'll make it a lot more fun. You know, I don't know how the format exactly is gonna look, but I think all these weeks now from the beginning of December through the end of the year are gonna be filled with football, which will be really cool. You know, maybe we play for the next 3 weeks and then, you know, the week of Christmas is off and then back at it for New Year's, but it will be exciting. I think four is too small. Six even makes more sense with the first two having a bye, you know, because then Florida State would have got in, and Georgia would have got in. That also makes sense. I'd be
I
fine
saw
with
that
six.
J.J. Watt proposed an emergency 16, like, hey, there's no real way to do four. We're going to do six. Washington and Michigan get a bye, and you get Florida State and Georgia in.
Yeah.
They're going to play in a bowl game anyways, so let's see what
Right.
happens.
Yeah. And yeah, I think Georgia takes care of business and then Georgia just ends the season at number five. And they're like, okay, guys, we're right here. We've been the best all year. We've been punishing teams. We're the back-to-back defending champs. Here we are on New Year's Day.
Yeah, and then you have Oregon, who dropped out of even that top six, but Oregon could have played with any of these schools, Georgia, obviously. So yeah, this one will be talked about for a long time, but I'm excited a year from now to be in that spot where we're going to have far more important bowl games, not just, bowl eligible at 500. These are actually going to be fun playoff games, and I think the expanded playoff is going to solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm excited to see it. So I guess we can just hit a couple of I guess the New Year's six bowls are set up. And we can also just hit the rest of the top 10 of where we landed after I mean that top five held pretty steady all season. But like you said, Florida State five, Georgia six, Ohio State landed at number seven after being knocked out with the final regular season loss to Michigan. And then Oregon down to number eight, which I think I would have seen Oregon maybe at number seven, but I could see how Ohio State got there with probably the strength of schedule, where Oregon, yeah, had some tough matchups, but like the Pac-12 might be a little easier. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that Ohio State never had a chance, because it feels like they should have. But also, with it's the Big Ten's fault, because Ohio State could have played Michigan again if they didn't set up their divisions that way. So, yeah, I'm excited. New Year Six is set. It's going to be some good matchups. I like that we're rotating the bowls this year. So Rose Bowl is part of the playoff, which is kind of cool. And yeah, it'll be cool. It's of course going to be cool, and we've wanted the playoff for a long time, but the fact that we're finally at the end of this four-team era makes me excited for what's to come.
Yeah, definitely. So we have the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. Rose Bowl obviously in Pasadena, California, and the Sugar Bowl in Louisiana. So that'll be in New Orleans in 34 days from when you're hearing this episode.
Yeah, that is interesting to me that you find out at the beginning of December, and you have a month to prepare for your next game. So you're going to have Christmas and New Year's in there. Well, I guess it's like on New Year's, but you're going to have Christmas in there, the end of the semester for all these students. Quite interesting when you're used to only a 6-day turnaround at most. And yeah, now these guys, they get the next month. It's not off, but you really have to stay focused if you're 19, 20, 21 years old and you're trying to train for another month for what's to come.
Yeah, I would say we just go through the classic New Year's Six Bowls right here. Starting with the first one is on December 29th. So they actually spread out the action, which is cool. So the Cotton Bowl is Missouri versus Ohio State. Yeah, 8 p.m. Eastern on the 29th. And then get the Peach Bowl. Love the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Mississippi is number 11 versus number 10 Penn State. So that'll be a good matchup.
I think that'll be really good. Two evenly matched teams, two kind of teams on the rise. And even Missouri, even though I think Ohio State takes that, Missouri definitely showed kind of some new life for being a, you know, not popular SEC school.
Yeah, I guess we might as well go predictions while we're on it. So I will go Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. And I'm going to take Mississippi as an underdog in the Peach Bowl. I know the lines probably aren't out yet, but I figure Penn State, who's been matching up with the likes of Michigan and Ohio State all season. Yeah, I'll take Mississippi in that, in the Peach Bowl. And then we have the Orange Bowl is the sole New Year's Six game on December 30th is number 5 Florida State versus number 6 Georgia. And I think Georgia has no problem in that game.
Yeah, I think Georgia, even with Florida State maybe having that second string back, I think Georgia is just going to have a heyday with them.
Yeah. Kind of funny. I don't know why this one's funny to me, but the Fiesta Bowl, where Boise State has been a couple times, and it would be cool for them to find themselves back in it on the big stage again, because they very well could. Because representing the only school in the group of five is number 23 undefeated Liberty versus number 8 Oregon. Wow. So it is cool that this is the, I think this is the one bowl that a group of five can get in, which is cool. And that is the early game on New Year's Day.
Nice. Even though Oregon's going to be highly favored, you can't deny an undefeated group of five school. They've got a chip on their shoulder. They're going to come in with something to prove. And who knows, Bo Nix probably won't even play in that game. So maybe there's a chance. See if they can get a full undefeated season.
That's true. That would be really cool for a school like that. Maybe throw some units down on Liberty. Yeah. And then we go to the championship games. Rose Bowl is 5 p.m. Eastern on New Year's Day, Alabama and Michigan. I don't know. I don't really want to see an SEC school in the final. And that's finally possible. So I'm going to take Michigan.
Yeah, Harbaugh's back. Michigan has just looked good. It feels
they've been
like
a train.
Yeah, it feels like they've been just shy previously, but they've got a good defense. Their run game's good. And then J.J. McCarthy can do anything under center. So I think Alabama's good. I think they've been able to come back this season, but I'm going to take Michigan as well. Probably a close. I mean, it's going to be like Michigan minus 2 at the most.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, some books might have Alabama, but I'm gonna take Michigan. You say 2, I'll say 2.5, but that's just because I think Michigan has been a freight train.
Yeah, and then the one that we grew up with, Texas versus Washington, grew up going to a lot of Huskies games. Coach Sarkisian, head coach of the Longhorns, who has completely turned it around. They made the jump from 7-3, four spots to get into the playoff. definitely a personal game for him being a coach at both, but I think this is going to be really close. I think the score ends within three. I think it'll be a medium, like a maybe a mid to high 30s. But crazy. Yeah, I'm excited. I think it'll be good, and just got to pull for Washington. I think they'll be able to do it.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I think it'll be a great game. I really think it will. I feel like both schools are in the same competitive nature of like good, decent matchups throughout the season and, you know, had some close ones, but like, hey, now they're on the big stage. They both earned a spot here, back to back 2-3 matchup. So yeah, I like Washington in this. I don't give this game more than 3 points. So, yeah, Washington by at least three.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I'm excited for them. I think they've finally got a full team to make a run at the championship.
Yeah, definitely. And then, always love a college national championship. I feel like they spread it out just right throughout the year. You get January for football. You get March Madness, the championships, usually the first week of April on a Monday night. Love that always. Gotta love a Monday championship. Like, you know, you look forward to stuff all week and then you have a great weekend of sports. Maybe you're busy, you're doing projects, you get done with work on Monday and it's like, what are we doing tonight? It's like, oh man, we got a college national championship, just like March Madness, just like whatever else. So gotta like that, but yeah, January 8th will be the wrap up there.
Yeah, Michigan versus Washington, just going number 1-2. Gotta
hope love for it. Yeah, I think it could happen. I think Kalen DeBoer has a great team in purple and gold up here on the banks of Lake Washington. So we'll see what they have in store for the next month as they prepare.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Huskies. I think this could be the year.
Yeah, I think so too. It's also been cool to see Coach Chris Peterson in the Fox booth, just in his takes on Washington, who he coached, and also Fox did the Boise State game. So seeing just what he thought there. But yeah, props to this program. Kalen DeBoer is what, 24-2 in the last two seasons. So you can't ignore the numbers in the win and loss column.
Yeah, young guy too, only second season at Washington, did a couple seasons at Fresno State before that. So yeah, really not a long resume, but yeah, he struck a chord and he's making it happen.
Yeah, I think that we'll end this on a positive note that after the Boise State win and took home the national championship or the Mountain West championship title, I think it was a day or two later in the film room, Spencer Danielson went from interim coach to the head coaching job. And fun fact that I saw on Twitter today, he is the only one on the list ever to win a conference championship, a conference title as an interim head coach.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Honestly, it was surprising. I thought, you know, good for him. He had a great end of the season, took him from 5-5 to 8-5. But thought they're going to go elsewhere, but the guys like him. It was obvious with that. And so I'm really excited to see what he does to build the program. Broncos got a berth to the LA Bowl to face UCLA. So, should be a fun one. Hopefully the Broncos travel well. And I think that game is just in 2 weeks on December 16th at SoFi Stadium.
Yeah. No doubt. That'll be awesome. Excited to see what he does with the program.
Yeah. Sounds like people really like him. The athletes are behind him and that's what you needed. I think it's exciting and I think they're going to be good next year.
I think so too. I'm excited to see it. I mean, so many people said all the narrative behind the game. Hey, Boise State is a winning football program. That's why Avalos went. He got fired after a win, but they were 5-5, and that is not what Boise State football is about. So I'm really excited to see, you know, maybe a pair of losses total next year in that L column.
Yeah, keep the momentum going right where we left off, and yeah, let's get one of those big, bold Bronco seasons.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well, it was a great weekend of college football. We secured a Huskies win and a Broncos win. Crazy with the college football playoff, and we're going to have a whole lot more to talk about next year with the 12-team expanded.
Definitely. Yeah, thanks for jumping on, and everybody tuning in to a little college football recap and bowl preview. And yeah, we'll be back next week for a whole lot more.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. As always, climb the ladder.